It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight. As I said earlier tonight, we finish off Candidate Week. It's been a great week of different candidates running for local races. We had state's attorneys on Tuesday.
This is my dream week.
State Senate race on Monday. Lots of races in the area. Mike Fouché is here from AlderTrack.com to be my co-host
Living
the dream. We're talking about the 5th district, the race for state, the 5th representative district of Illinois. Next up, challenger in the 5th, Juliana Stratton. She's a director of the Center for Public Safety and Justice at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Before that, she was the executive director of the Cook County Justice for Children. She's a lawyer, mediator, and advocate, and she joins me tonight. Thanks for being here, Ms. Stratton.
You're welcome. Good evening. Glad to be here.
Why don't we start? I mean, what's getting you into politics? I mean, you've done a lot of work. You've been a professor, like I just said, a lawyer. What is it about getting into politics, and why run for office here in the 5th?
Well, I've been in public service for my entire career. I am a lawyer, but throughout my 20 plus year career, I've always worked with governmental agencies and entities, and as a mediator working on employment discrimination cases for a number of governmental agencies. I was a deputy hearing commissioner for the city's Department of Business Affairs and Consumer Protection, working on how to make sure that businesses and communities are good neighbors. In 2011, I joined the administration of Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle as the director of the Justice Advisory Council, where I advised on criminal and juvenile justice reform for the president's office. And now I'm with the University of Illinois at Chicago as the director of the Center for Public Safety and Justice. So throughout my career, I've been in public service. I've been an advocate. I focused on problem solving. And I really see running for office and being in elected office really just a way of extending the reach of that advocacy and that problem solving skills.
So how did you get recruited to run for this? I mean, who first suggested that you would run against Ken Duncan?
Well, first of all, let me say in 2011, I was in a program called Illinois Women's Institute for Leadership, which trains women to run for political office statewide. So as I just talked about, public service has always been in my mind. Around 2011, I started thinking about preparing myself for elected office. I saw that as potentially something in my future. I've always kind of kept my eyes and ears open about what might be coming down the pipeline, where some opportunities might present themselves. And so then when Representative Duncan missed some key votes in September and then again in November, again, I'm a resident of the 5th District, and I was really disturbed by that. And so I started just having some conversations. Clearly, in the work that I've done, I know a lot of people who both elected officials and otherwise who work in government. I've worked on campaigns, and it was a conversation that just started. So I wouldn't use any particular word like recruitment. I would say that this was something that there were mutual conversations that started to take place.
Well, it was a very memorable press conference where you had a lot of big, big name Democrats that were standing behind you, including Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle. But when you announced that you were going to be running or getting endorsements from the key Democrats, talk about this race has really just sort of catapulted to the top of the list when it comes to interests in the city of Chicago. And a lot of people have said it's a proxy, that it's Speaker Madigan versus Governor Rauner. Governor Rauner's PACs giving money to Representative Duncan and Speaker Madigan supporting your candidacy. Talk about that. I mean, when they say proxy, I mean, is this really about Speaker Madigan versus Governor Rauner?
Well, so I know that that's how it's often framed in the media. I've been talking to residents for the last several months, literally 6 to 7 hours every day, knocking on doors. And that's not what the residents of the district are talking about. They're talking about the fact that they feel that there's been a void of leadership in the 5th district. They're talking about the issues that are affecting their everyday lives, such as when those votes were missed, how they were cut from child care assistance and affordable child care. I've heard other families talk about the concern about being cut from important medical care or people with disabilities being cut from services. Those are the things that I'm hearing on a day-to-day basis. None of the residents that I'm talking to in the 5th district are trying to frame it as some sort of proxy war.
So you've gotten an unheard of amount of money, millions of dollars for your campaign or expended on your behalf. We're at $3.6 million that's been committed between the two campaigns at this point. How can you possibly demonstrate independence after getting all this money and support if you're elected?
Well, I think I look at my career as someone who's had to serve as a neutral and somebody who takes information in and has to make an independent decision. That's what I've done for 20 plus years of my career. As a mediator, as an arbitrator, as an administrative judge, my role has been to take all of the information that's been presented, look at the evidence, and make a decision that's not as a mediator, because that's the parties making the decision, but in many of my roles, I've had to make a decision based upon all of the information presented. And I think what I would do as a legislator and as the representative in the 5th District is be able to take what's important to the residents of the district. And I really do believe, based upon all the conversations, and I've talked with thousands of people, that if I keep what they've told me at the forefront, if I listen to them, if I keep the lines of communication open, if I'm educating the community, hey, this is what's happening in Springfield, let's talk about how it affects your daily lives. And they also say to me, hey, Juliana, let us tell you some things that are going on in our community you should know about. I really do believe if we keep the people first, then it's going to be something that will allow for the kind of independence which says, I was elected to do a job. I was elected to represent the people of the
district. Well, Ken Duncan says that he's doing this for the people. He's being an independent guy, and he's tired of wearing Mike Madigan's yoke, and so he's breaking out for the people.
He's breaking out for the people, he says, to the tune of first a $500,000 campaign donation from Republican friends and allies of Governor Rauner, and that has only built from there. Another $300,000 last week, and I think I've seen last Friday, and I think I've seen another several hundred thousand. I mean, no one that I'm talking to in the 5th District, none of the residents believe that he's independent. Most of the residents, and if not all of the residents that I've talked to, don't see him as somebody sort of breaking out for them. They see him as someone who has turned his back on them and someone who has now formed an alliance with a governor who has an agenda that is really anti-family, anti-middle and struggling working class families, and that they now feel like Ken Duncan is helping him to advance that agenda.
In 9 months without a budget in Springfield, I mean, everyone knows this at this point, but a lot of residents of the 5th are affected by this. I mean, social service cuts down the line. You hear Representative Duncan say that, you know, this is something that, you know, the communication between Speaker Madigan and Governor Rauner is not there, that we're letting politics get in front of the budget. What's your answer to why a budget hasn't gotten done?
Well, I think first and foremost that, as I just said, and I don't want to be a broken record, but I think first and foremost, we have not put what's in the best interest of the people of this state as the number one priority. So when we keep people at the forefront, then there's no way that I could see that you would cut everything from, you know, services to homeless students to services for seniors. I mean, these are, you know, taking care of children and the most vulnerable seniors, the most vulnerable in our community. That's just unheard of to me. Having said that, I also know that we do have a governor who did not campaign on his turnaround agenda. And yet now, as we head into the 9th month without a budget, he has really, from my estimation, decided that he's not willing to really negotiate in good faith without seeing that turnaround agenda move forward. And so that's a problem because in the meantime.
So that's it? I mean, is there nowhere to go? He wants the turnaround agenda, so there's nothing that can be offered. We're at an impasse.
So I believe that as the governor, then his number one responsibility is to help get a budget passed. I mean, and I do believe that he's abdicated that responsibility. Look, I agree with what President Obama said when he came to address the Illinois General Assembly several weeks ago, when he talked about the need to be able to reach across the aisle to try to work and find points of compromise. But I think he also made it very clear that you don't do that to the extent where you are sacrificing what's important to the residents that you were elected to represent. And that was the problem with Representative Duncan. He talks about being independent, that he's now working with Governor Rauner because he thinks that that's a way to negotiate. You don't negotiate when it hurts the people that you were elected to represent. There's some things that are negotiable, and quite frankly, there are some things that aren't. And if it's going to continue to be on the backs of families that are already struggling, I don't see that's an area that you're able to negotiate.
Juliana Stratton is the challenger in the 5th District for state representative. Let's take a break. We come back more with this conversation.
Thank you.
Hey, It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Mike Fouché is with me tonight. It's Candidate Week. In studio with us, Juliana Stratton. She is the challenger in the 5th District state representative race against incumbent Ken Duncan. We're talking about the budget impasse, this kind of thing. So one of the big ticket items of this race is the President of the United States endorsing you over Ken Duncan. We were just talking about how he's only endorsed, he's only really spoken on two races in the entire country. I mean, it's got to be great to have the president's support, especially, you know, here in Chicago, but is it strange to have the President of the United States endorse
you guys
for
talk?
State rep?
Do you hang out?
Well, it's never happened to me before,
sure.
So I've never had his endorsement before, so it's a little strange, but in all seriousness, I am thrilled to have the endorsement of President Obama. I am very grateful that in his endorsement, he recognized that we have shared values and what we would like to see happen in our communities and in our neighborhoods. And I think it just speaks to the fact that he believes, quite frankly, that I can provide better leadership for the 5th District. And for that, I'm extremely grateful.
Have you met him before?
I have met him before, briefly.
Pre or post becoming president? Because he lived just down the street from you. Okay.
Post.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, and what'd you guys talk about?
Well.
Classified, right?
Yeah. Well, I worked on his campaign.
Okay, cool.
And as many others did in this city, and his reelection campaign.
Uh-huh.
And so I was working out of the Hyde Park office.
Okay.
And I don't know if you, either of you remember this, but on the morning of the election day.
Yeah.
He came into the Hyde Park office.
Uh-huh.
And so all I know is someone said, okay,
yeah,
leave your bag, step outside. Dogs were coming in. Everything was real quick. And I see the presidential motorcade driving up right on 51st Street in some space that used to be like a pancake house or something.
Yeah, that's not even there anymore.
It's not even there anymore. Yeah. And then there was President Obama. And he just came in and he greeted people. He made a couple of calls to voters. And I tell you that even in my campaign right now, one thing that I learned from that interaction and the reaction that people had from him talking to not only the volunteers, but talking to people who were going to vote for him and making calls is the importance of connecting with the residents. And that's what I've been doing in this campaign. People want to talk to the people who are going to represent them. And like I say to them, how can I represent you best if I've never seen your face, you haven't seen mine, and we don't have a conversation? Yeah. So that's what I've been spending my time doing.
Let me ask you this. Some of the issues that are happening. I mean, there's a strange thing happening in the state of Illinois, and the governor is behind it in the way that Chicago versus the rest of the state. There's Chicago is spending too much. Chicago, with the schools in particular, are getting too much from the state of Illinois. Let's talk about CPS. There's been a lot of rumors about the state taking over Chicago Public Schools, that Chicago Public Schools can be financially insolvent. What's your take on schools and making sure that they're funded appropriately here in the city of Chicago?
Well, first of all, I don't think any of that language that we've heard from the governor regarding bankruptcy and insolvency, I don't think any of that language is helpful. We are not talking about a business or a corporation. We are talking about children and families and the fact that no matter where a child lives, regardless of his or her zip code, that child deserves to have a quality education and to be able to not just matriculate through, you know, high school and hopefully college if that's the choice, but to also just be prepared for the workforce. And that's going to be an issue that's really important for all of us in this state. Whether you have children or not, we need young people who are prepared for the workforce so that they can have opportunities and we can keep our economic engine going. So the state is responsible under our Constitution. The state is responsible for funding our Chicago public schools. I do not believe that they have been adequately funded and that the state is doing its fair share. So I believe that we really have to look at that. And I think we have to also look at accountability within the school system, which is why I also am glad to see that the elected school board legislation is moving forward, because I believe that we have to look at the management of our school system and make sure that they're held accountable. So I think that there's a dual way of looking at that. And I also believe we need more revenue at the state level. And I would support a progressive taxing structure because I really just believe that people who can afford to pay more should pay more.
So, but CPS is practically insolvent at this point. You know, and in fact, there was just a memo that went out to principals saying, hey, don't spend more money. And they can't borrow anymore. And they can't raise taxes. So it looks like CPS is on its way to being taken over by the state one way or another. Should CPS be run by the state? And is Rahm Emanuel doing a good job of running the schools?
I mean, I come back to the fact that we have a governor at this point who has not been able to get a budget passed in this state. So I don't think anybody is looking to him as being the appropriate person to even propose trying to run Chicago Public Schools. We're not seeing that type of management and financial oversight in a way that anybody would trust.
And how do you put a stop to that?
You know, in terms of
how does the legislature stop Governor Bronner from taking over CPS?
Well, you know, first of all, I don't think that there's any legal authority for him to do so at this point. So I'm not sure. I would kind of reverse the question. What authority would he have to do it?
Well, he seems to be basically threatening to say, well, I'm going to say that CPS is insolvent.
I hear the threats.
And by doing so, bond markets will no longer lend money to CPS, so it will have to shut down. It's kind of a bank shot, but yeah.
I think we've been seeing with this governor is the desire to kind of see everything just sort of drain out, whether it's struggling families, whether it's senior citizens, whether it's our school system, whatever we're looking at, the approach seems to be we're just going to hold off and just let things kind of just
peter out.
Yeah. And then hopefully everybody will come around and try to push my agenda. I think that that's not a popular agenda, his agenda. I don't think we see support for it. And, you know, like I said, let's get a budget passed. And then you can look at some of the other things that, you know, and try to see where there's room for looking at ideas that might be considered. But at this point, right now, there are families that are struggling. And it's very real. And one of the things, and that's why when I talk to families every day, they're talking about the stuff that's happening in their households. They're really focused on the day to day. This is how it's impacting me. And I've talked to mothers, for example, who have said, I quit my job because I don't have child care assistance program anymore. I'm no longer eligible. That's a problem.
So what then do you do? I mean, what we were just talking about here is that Governor Rahner basically has the ability to block anything from happening. And he is saying, we're not going to do anything until I get my turnaround agenda passed. And the state legislature, you know, we don't want to do the turnaround agenda. So what do you do?
State legislature. I mean, I think we have to recognize it's the state of Illinois. If we, from what I've conceived from surveys and polling, residents of this state don't want to see this turnaround agenda push like he wants to see it. Even if people are supportive of him to some degree, although his popularity is not that high either, people are not looking for that turnaround agenda. And they're certainly not looking at the turnaround agenda as the contingency for getting a budget passed. So again, I would look as a legislator, I would look at any and all ideas that are proposed. But I think right now the main thing is that this governor needs to get a budget passed. We can't continue to see social service organizations laying off their staff, programs being cut, families anxious about how they're going to make it day after day and week after week because of this agenda that is not popular throughout the state of Illinois.
Let me ask you one last question here, just about the district. The 5th District is so it's so diverse.
Sure.
And it goes all the way. I mean, we're in the 5th District right here on Michigan Avenue. It goes down to 79th Street. It goes, up to the past
Not Division and LaSalle
Division.
Or so.
But, mm-hmm. You know, that is the real backbone of the city of Chicago. And there are a lot of people who are affected by social service cuts and a lot of people affected by not having a budget. For you to want to get involved in politics at this juncture or government, it's a tough time for representatives and senators because you have to talk to the people and your hands are tied. This seems to be a battle at the top, leadership versus leadership, moving and shaking and legislators like you or senators or representatives are just considered to be pawns. Why get involved in this and what can you do to change that?
So I'll say two things in response and in closing. I'll first of all say that it's what I've done my entire career. As a mediator and a negotiator, I also teach negotiations at Loyola. The way that I operate is to dive right into places of conflict, find out who needs to be at the table, who are the key stakeholders, what's important to both groups, and to figure out how we can find some points of commonality and to move an agenda forward. That's what I do. So that's a skill set that I want to bring to Springfield, and I know that I can bring on behalf of the people and the residents of the 5th District. But I'll say this as well. I got into this and, I had to circulate my petitions and then I started knocking on doors and starting to have conversation. It has been an education for me to hear from residents. And, I've been motivated day after day to knock on doors hour after hour because I'm listening to people who have felt like they have not had a real voice in this district. I'm listening to people who are saying, you know what, we've had somebody in this office for 13 years. I've never met them. Or I've had somebody in this who's our representative. And now I see him because, he has a lot of money from the Republican sources. And he's now in this contested race. And now he's coming around. But they haven't felt like he's been there all this time. And then you add missing some votes that directly impacts our community and devastates our community. It's just something that I couldn't sit by. So I'm motivated by it because I bring the skill set, but I'm also motivated because I've heard the stories, I've seen the faces, and I've talked to people directly, and I believe they deserve better.
Juliana Stratton is the director of the Center for Public Safety and Justice at the University of Illinois at Chicago, and she's running for state representative in the 5th District of Illinois. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you.